Over the next 2 days, we're going to explore a world of jails and prisoners and occasional violence. It's the world of what the government calls administrative detention, and it has almost nothing to do with the war on terrorism.
Every year, since Congress revamped the immigration laws in the 1990s, the government has been rounding up tens of thousands of immigrants. Immigrants who have ever committed a crime, whether a major crime, such as murder, or an offense such as overstaying a visa. The government has been detaining those aliens in jails for months or for years until it deports them.
An NPR investigation suggests some detainees have been held in harsh conditions. Guards have allegedly beaten them and deliberately terrorized them with dogs, even ordered dogs to attack them. NPR's Daniel Zwerdling has our report.
Hamneth Mohabir is not from the Middle East. He's not a Muslim. Nobody's ever accused him of knowing anything about terrorism. Until his ordeal began, he seemed to be making it in America. Mohabir married an American citizen more than 10 years ago. They had a baby. He got a green card. Everything was legal. Mohabir started supporting his family by being a bicycle messenger on the crazy streets of New York. But then he went back to school, and soon he was making $12 an hour fixing air conditioning in landmarks like Madison Square Garden.
Now I was more happy and proud to know that, hey, I'm not delivering a package here now. I'm coming to fix the thing. And people say, oh, thank you very much. You know that we were very uncomfortable and now you've made us comfortable. So that kind of give me a kind of joy that now I'm not coming as a messenger, but as a person with a respectable job.
But today, as Mohabir tells his story, he's sitting in a tiny pink and blue house thousands of miles from America. U.S. officials deported him on April 1st back to his home country of Guyana along South America's Atlantic coast. And they say he can never go back to the United States. Mohabir is 43 years old. He's a small man with chocolate skin and long black hair. He says he misses his family terribly. But at least now that he's back in Guyana, he feels safe.
I began to see the real bad part of the United States, and now I see that innocent people are being tormented, being abused in the maximum way.
Mohabir says, listen what happened to him. In the spring of 2002, relatives called him in New York to say that his mother had heart disease back in Guyana, so he flew down to help take care of her. He flew back to Kennedy Airport only a couple weeks later, and when he handed his green card to the immigration agents, there was trouble.
He said, oops, you got a charge, man.
Something from Mohabir's past had popped up on the computer screen. It turns out that 6 years earlier, he'd been convicted for having about $5 worth of drugs. The judge fined him $250 and let him go. But Mohabir didn't realize that this misdemeanor made him what they call an inadmissible alien. So now, here he was at Kennedy Airport all these years later. Government agents shackled his hands and feet with metal chains. They drove him straight to a nearby jail, and the Department of Homeland Security kept Mohabir locked up for almost 2 years until they finally deported him. Mohabir says, you know how guards taunted and terrorized detainees at the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq? He says guards did some of the same things to him and other immigrants who were being detained at the Passaic County Jail in New Jersey.
Passaic County is not a jail. It was torture, the torture chamber.
Okay, Passaic County Jail, you know, wasn't pleasant. But torture, come on, that's, you know, way, way too strong.
Passaic was everyday torture.
NPR has spent 5 months investigating Mohabir's charges. We obtained official documents from Passaic. We tracked down 4 other immigrants who were detained there recently. And the evidence suggests that guards at Passaic taunted detainees and sometimes beat them up. And it suggests that guards used dogs to terrorize them. Here are 4 of those detainees, including Mohabir and a man who's still in prison, named Michael Bumbury. The other 2 don't want to use their names because they're afraid that Homeland Security will retaliate.
I think they try to intimidate you and humiliate you with those dogs.
Every moment, there's always a dog present, snapping, ready to bite you for no reason.
They walk with them all the time. The dogs are with them, barking and, you know, carrying on.
Dogs barking at you, jumping at you.
And the noise alone is scary.
They go off, they bark, 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 bark.
The second night I was in Passaic County Jail, 5 o'clock in the morning, they come in to do a head count. And they come in with 2 German shepherds.
And the minute you move, the dogs are ready to eat you up. The minute you, like, excuse me, officer, and the dogs take off like that.
The Department of Homeland Security pays local jails like Passaic to detain immigrants for them. Officials at the departments and at the jails say they treat non-citizens humanely. We'll hear more from them later. The situation at Passaic sheds light on how the government detains non-citizens, sometimes in harsh conditions. Back in the 1990s, Congress passed a series of laws that said, in effect, from now on, if you're a non-citizen and it turns out that you've ever committed a crime, the government can detain you and then deport you, even if the offense was something like taking the subway without a ticket. The government sends a lot of detainees in the New York area to the Passaic County Jail. That's where they put Hemnath Mohabir.
I was locked in a cell for the first time in my life. And so the night now, I started panic. I can't breathe now.
The Passaic County Jail houses more than 1,000 regular criminals. Then there are hundreds of immigrant detainees who are crammed together in separate wings. Every detainee I tracked down told stories about the time that guards slugged him, or kicked him, or shoved his head against the wall, or did it to one of his cellmates. But they say the most horrific part of Passaic was the dogs. They say just about everywhere you go in the jail, there were guards with attack dogs, which lunge at you and try to maul you. Mohabir and the other detainees say groups of guards would burst into their cells at 2 a.m., and there's the lunging dog.
Picture it. You just woke up now, man, wake you up, bam, bam, you know, start yelling, put your effing heads to the bar, and the dog barking and yelling and jumping, and, you know, it's a real crazy thing, really. And it begins to put a kind of strain on your mind and your brain.
They call it a shakedown. And the way detainees describe it, you jump out of your bunk and press against the metal bars and raise your hands over your head. One guard's aiming a pellet gun at you. Other guards are tearing your sheets off the bunks and throwing your books and clothes on the floor to see if you're hiding something illegal. Meanwhile, the canine officer starts working his dog inches behind your legs.
Dog barks like a real vicious, like dribbling saliva coming out his mouth, snapping, opening the mouth wide and snapping fiercely, you know? Real terrifying.
So the dog is lunging at you, trying to bite you. You're imitating the guard now, that the dog is lunging forward and the guard's, you know, arm is shooting out with a leash, right?
Right. And then he would pull the dog back, jerk him back. And the dog would keep jumping, and he deliberately allows the dog to jump, give him the leverage to scare us. So it keeps snapping at the foot, and then it would spring to your neck, bow, 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 like, you know. The dog would open his mouth near close to your head, man. Anyone would be afraid of the dog.
Even lawyers who visit Passaic told me they're afraid of the dogs. Brian Lonigan works with the New York Legal Aid Society. He goes to the jail about twice a month to give advice to detainees. Lonigan says one day last year, a guard and a dog walked toward him as he was waiting for a client.
As he walked by me, the dog suddenly lunged for me. He was within an inch or so of my thigh, barking, growling, very aggressive. The guard seemed to get a kick out of it.
What's so horrible about dogs? All right, these guys are in prison. I mean,
you got to look at the whole picture. Here you are, a guy who's working your job one day, supporting your family, and the next day you're in this jail, you're wearing a jumpsuit, nobody's giving you any information, they're calling you a f***ing immigrant, dogs are being used to intimidate, you're being toyed with. You know, I mean, here's this guard who's letting you know, I can have you mauled at this moment if I wish. Now, you're not even being charged with a crime. And how is it that you suddenly find yourself in a situation with your back up against the cement wall in a prison with some sadistic guard threatening you with a dog?
The man who runs the Passaic County Jail is named Jerry Spezial. He's the county sheriff. We asked to talk to him about the detainees' allegations, but he sent word that he refused. A spokesman named William Mayer talked to us instead.
Certainly no jail is like your own home. And there's a reason why people are detained or in jail, because they committed some sort of infraction against some sort of government entity that has leveled them to be in a facility. So these individuals have had some sort of, generally, criminal background. So it's a tough job.
Mayor acknowledges that he hardly ever spends time inside the Passaic jail, so he doesn't know the conditions firsthand. He's a lobbyist and a PR consultant. In fact, we didn't talk at the jail. We met in his firm's conference room. It's decorated with engravings of the state capitol and overlooks the Delaware River. Mayor would not talk specifically about any of the detainees' allegations that guards beat them up.
Passaic County Jail routinely passes state and local health department inspections, and the department's proud of it.
When it comes to the dogs, Mayor is willing to speak in more detail.
There are dogs throughout the facility. I mean, there are dogs checking for explosives, checking for contraband. I mean, there are dogs in the facility. There's no way around it. And there are certainly dogs there for, to make sure that the operation is smoothly. We feel that the canine program is a very integral part of keeping the facility secure, and they have. But certainly when an individual walks past a dog, you know, a dog might bark or growl like household dogs growl or bark. I mean, that happens. And there hasn't been any instances of any harm, or there hasn't been any cases that we're aware of any complaints. There hasn't been cases where there's had to go to a hospital.
To the contrary, we obtained official documents from the jail and confidential medical records, and they show that at least two prisoners have been taken to the hospital this year to be treated for dog bites. When I showed Mayor one of those documents, he changed his answer. This time he said, yes, he's aware of these incidents, and jail officials are investigating. But he added,
I know that the department doesn't feel they're accurate.
So I went to see one of the dog bite victims to hear his side of the story. He's still in jail. The Passaic County Jail looms over one of the main streets in Paterson, New Jersey. It's a fortress of bricks and barbed wire. We spent almost 3 months trying to get officials from the jail and from Homeland Security to give us permission to visit. And when they finally agreed, they said, here are the rules. You can't mingle with detainees and talk to them about conditions in the jail. You can't tour the jail to see how detainees live. They only allowed me to see a couple of dingy hallways and a tiny cubicle with glass windows where lawyers meet detainees. A guard ushered in a young man.
My name is Rosendo Lewis, and I've been here since May 4th, 2004.
Rosendo Lewis is about 5'8". He's slender, 29 years old. He was wearing the jail's standard green tunic and green pants with big rips in them. We sat on two metal stools at a metal table, all bolted into the floor. Lewis showed me some thick, almost purple scars on his left forearm, and then he told me his version of how he got them.
What I saw was, I was starting to go back to bed, and I saw that people were starting to complain about, oh, they're not going to turn on the TV.
Lewis says it was around 8 in the morning on Monday, May 10th, this year. Normally, the detainees could start watching TV in the common room. But on this day, the guard said, no, the TV stays off, because one detainee didn't get up for roll call. Lewis says the other detainees were upset. Why punish everybody for something one man did? Lewis says he tried to talk about it with a head officer, Captain Joseph DeFranco.
And so I spoke to the captain. I said, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. And I had to raise my voice a little because he was almost away out of sight from the dorm. And he says, who are you talking to? I said, I'm talking to you, sir. He says, I'm a f***ing captain. And he says, who the f*** do you think you are? What do you mean? I have my rights. I'm just talking to you. I'm going to show you what rights you have.
Lewis says he's the first to admit that he's done terrible things in his life. For instance, he committed armed robbery when he was a teenager, and he served 4 years in jail. That makes him a deportable alien, which is why the government's detaining him now. But Lewis says he's done nothing wrong at Passaic, except he spoke out to Captain DeFranco. He says DeFranco and two guards dragged him into the hallway. Then seven more officers crowded around him with one of the dogs. He says the captain started smacking his face.
Do you understand what I'm telling you? Do you understand?
Blah! Slaps. Lewis says now he started screaming. The guards were pulling him down to the floor. One of them was punching him. Another kneed him in the groin.
The dog was hysteric. The dog was on drugs. Like that, from the back of his throat. Like he's actually dying to bite you. Wow, 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 wow. Like, get at me.
And Lewis says then one of the officers called out,
let the dog bite him. Let him bite him. Let him bite him. Like that. And then that's when he clamped into my arm, yanking me. I mean, he bit me one time and didn't let go. And that's, I screamed really, really loud, like, ah, like out of pain, you know?
And let me just describe on your forearm, a little above your wrist, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you have a whole bunch of very dark red welts, and one of them is over.
This one was so deep, it was about this deep, about an inch deep, down into my bone. My x-rays in the hospital shows how deep it was. It was just barely touching the bone.
The jail's own documents that we've obtained confirm the main parts of Lewis's story. We got a copy of the official incident report, which Captain DeFranco filed with the sheriff's office. His report confirms that he and 9 other guards confronted Lewis in the hallway. The report confirms that the jail's dog attacked Lewis and bit his forearm. The report even names the officer who took photographs of the dog bites. And medical records confirm that they took Lewis to a local hospital to get treated. In fact, there's only 2 ways that Lewis and the official report seem to disagree. Captain DeFranco's report says that Lewis is the one who cursed him. And it says that Lewis, quote, raised his hand with a clenched fist and started kicking and swinging his arms, unquote. Lewis denies it.
No, I never clenched my fist. Imagine me in a corridor with a dog barking 2 feet away from me, with 9 other officers surrounding me. Do you think that I'm out of my mind to try to hit Mr. DeFranco, a captain? I have to be crazy out of my mind.
We sent letters to Captain DeFranco and the other guards who were involved in the incident, according to the jail's report. We also sent letters to guards who detainees say beat them up, and we asked them to tell us their version of events. None of the guards has responded. We have talked to 5 of the country's leading specialists who run prisons and study prisons, and they all say if the guards at the Passaic County Jail use dogs in any of the ways that detainees allege, then conditions at Passaic are out of control.
We don't use those kinds of dogs, and that would absolutely be contrary to our protocols.
Martin Horn is commissioner of jails in New York City. He used to run the state prisons in Pennsylvania. Horn says, don't get him wrong, he thinks dogs can be a huge help in prisons, but only if you use them in very controlled ways. He says his staff uses dogs mainly to search for drugs, and they pick passive dogs so they won't scare the prisoners. Horn says even if the dogs at Passaic never actually bit anybody, but they're barking and lunging at detainees, that's outrageous.
Well, it's just no way to treat inmates. It's no way to treat any human being. Ultimately, these individuals in our custody are people who have human rights, and it's simply wrong to intimidate for the sake of intimidation.
And Horn and other prison officials said they would never allow guards to sick a dog on a prisoner, unless it was the only way to stop a prisoner from hurting somebody. Michael Jacobson used to run the jails in New York City when Rudolph Giuliani was mayor. Now he teaches future jail directors at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. I read him parts of the official report by the captain at Passaic about the recent dog attack on the detainee, and Jacobson shook his head.
The story itself, based on those facts, doesn't sound remotely appropriate to use a dog. If it's true that it's one little guy surrounded by 10 officers and he didn't have a weapon, then the use of a dog in that case clearly doesn't seem called for.
The Department of Homeland Security oversees how jails like Passaic treat detainees. Victor Serta runs the department's program to detain non-citizens. He wouldn't talk specifically about the dog attacks or any other allegations, but he says in general Passaic's doing a good job.
We have not been presented with any information that shows a significant situation arising there or occurring there. And the bottom line is we have a responsibility. We are a federal agency, and we are required to abide by the civil rights laws of this country. And we definitely will ensure that they are being adhered to not only by ourselves, but the counties.
Serta said if detainees have a problem, they should report it to Homeland Security. And in fact, all the detainees I talked to say they tried. They say they wrote out long complaints on yellow legal pads, and when department officials would visit Passaic, the detainees would beg them to investigate. But the detainees say they never got a reply. Hamnath Mohabir says he felt so scared that guards or dogs would kill him that he did something desperate. He went on a hunger strike. As Mohabir tells the story back in Guyana, his mother is serving curried vegetables for lunch. He can't find a job, so he spends hours at her house. Mohabir says in July 2003, while he was still at Passaic, he declared that he'd never eat again, unless Homeland Security moved him to a more humane jail. After he'd gone 43 days without solid food, guards loaded him into a van, and they drove him and other detainees to the Hudson County Jail, almost 20 miles away. In the world of detention, people will tell you that the Hudson jail is supposed to be one of the best. And Mohabir says as the van left Passaic, they all felt hope.
There were smiles and like laughter. Guys were laughing. Yes, we out of that jail now. You know, not really cheering because you're handcuffed, right? But yes, boy, Hudson County, all right.
But Mohabir says once he got to Hudson, he witnessed the most disturbing act of violence he's ever seen. Daniel Zwerdling, NPR News.
Tomorrow, the story of an alleged beating at the Hudson County Jail told by two former detainees who were living 6,000 miles apart.
You can find photos of Hamnath Mohabir's life back in Guyana, evidence supporting his claims of abuse, and an essay from Daniel Zwerdling at our website, npr.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.